Welcome to the Feudal Podcast. My name is Ian, and as always, we have Zach.
As always, mostly.
And we are now, well, I think more often than not, I think you probably, you've done like at least three with just you and Blaine. And I've done one with Seth, so maybe we're about even. My attendance might be a little lower than yours.
You also did one with, what's his name?
Mark?
Yeah. You did more than one with just your brother, didn't
you? Well, I did the Saw one first, yeah.
You did the Saw one, then you did the Eugene Wolf set with Seth?
Yeah, did you listen to that one?
No.
Oh, you should, it's really good. It's quick.
I actually just now started listening to the last of the few that I did with you.
So. It's really funny, because it's quick. I'm just blowing my... Okay. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to continue our David Mamet discussion. We're going to talk about... 1987 film House of Games, which is both written and directed by him. Based on a play? I don't know.
No.
So it's just straight up, he decided, I'm going to write a screenplay and direct a movie. It's going to be a confidence film. Those had been made before, but it seemed like this was before there was a huge kick on films. Yeah. They were confidence films.
The film was co-written by him and Jonathan Katz.
Really? I didn't catch that, I guess. Okay, so Jonathan Katz from Dr. Katz, professional therapist. Co-wrote the film. That's weird. I didn't notice. Has he written much else?
There's an under thing of therapy in there, you know?
Oh, that's true. There is that.
She's a therapist.
As always, I've got my little notes that kind of follow the plot. Basically, we can just talk about, do the plot real quick for this one.
Sure.
Yeah. It's about a woman played by, I want to say her last name is Krause. She's been a judge on, like, one of the Law and Orders for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Short hair, kind of a handsome Jamie Lee Curtis kind of woman, not particularly attractive, not like a, but she was David Mamet's wife at the time, and you know he has to have his wife at the time in whatever he's shooting.
Of course. Well, because she doesn't take that much of a paycheck,
or because she just plain thinks he knows what he's doing and listens to him and makes it easy. So she plays this therapist who's writing, who's also a rather wealthy novelist. And what she's essentially doing, which is, I think, highly unethical, but sort of within a weird gray area, is she's writing writing the books based on these character studies of people that she's essentially, that are her patients,
right,
that are in analysis with her. So she's got, a girl that's completely devolved into the sense that, like, has this whole complex about, like, why does nobody love me, that's in an insane asylum. There's this guy who's a gambling addict. And what happens is this guy who's a gambling addict one day says, what are you going to do to help me? You can't help me. Somebody's going to kill me. I don't have the money,
right,
and they're going to kill me. And I don't know what exactly happens, but somehow she ends up knowing where to go. She goes to this bar called the House of Games, which is awesome. Let's see here. I have in one of my notes at the House of Games. It's a pool hall, which makes it awesome, and it's a bar.
And then at the back room with the illegal.
The back room with the illegal. But just like FX2, Dennehy's sty. It's just like Dennehy's sty in FX2, and it's just like man. So my dream is to own like a kick-ass
bar in your house.
Bar pool hall. And like a deli place. So it's like in the daytime I can make sandwiches,
right,
for lunch and stuff. And then at night I can go, you know, tend bar and play pool. And that's just awesome.
All your life's dreams.
That would be my weekdays, you know. And then I wrote Oh Fat Tony, because it's our old buddy Joe Montana,
right,
is in it. It's weird because when he first shows up, he's really unshaven and unkempt looking, and I thought that was going to be his look for the film, but it's not. It's like it's only in that one scene, and I don't know if that's just some kind
part
of
the con.
Part of the issue.
Make him look,
yeah,
like a certain person to her when she first goes in there.
Yeah, and so what happens is, we don't need to spoil any of this. I think we can still... Well, we can try.
On.
Who knows?
You gotta spoil it. It's only good if you... By the way, so Lindsay Krause...
Lindsay Krause,
yeah. She was the... She looked much younger at the time. I guess it was like 10 years before. But
it was 87, so yeah.
In Slapshot, she was the wife of the young hockey player that Paul Newman's constantly hitting on because he knows they're having marital problems.
Yeah.
So she just kind of glowers through the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
After I first saw House of Games, I was like, that lady's really ugly and a bad actor. I wonder what else she's been in. And then I was like, oh, that's her from Slapshot. She was kind of ugly in that too, but she was younger, and I guess she had perkier tits or something. So
Well, I don't know. She has kind of a butch short haircut. Now, yeah. A short haircut can look all right on a woman, but sometimes the certain kind doesn't read well. It looks very androgynous. I'm looking
at the poster of the movie right now, and she looks like Sandra Day O'Connor on it.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah. And then there's a whole issue of what's your tell, which is a big thing about confidence.
Like Jennifer Tilly, yeah.
And everything else. Yeah, like Jennifer Tilly. What are her tells?
Her heaving bosom.
Yes. Yeah. Basically, she gets involved in this card game to try and help this guy. He's like, you know what? I'll write off this this debt to this patient of yours, and then there'll be no problems if you come in, pretend to be my girlfriend, and when I leave to go to the bathroom, you tell me what this guy across the way, this Texan guy, is wearing a bolo tie, even though he has no Texan accent. Yeah. It's our old buddy Ricky J, who gets bastardly smoked in Heist.
Yeah.
And so he gets up and leaves, and she notices that he does this thing with his ring, and she's like, he's bluffing. Yeah. He's like, really, you saw it? She's like, I'm absolutely certain. She's kind of into it now. Yeah. She's driven, she's certain. They've established already that she's got kind of a strange personality. I mean, in terms of her analysis and other things, there's clearly something kind of alluring and seductive about this world to her already. And so he's like, okay, fine. And then it turns out that, you know, he did have a better hand, and the guy got screwed, and then the guy gets a gun out and says, you're going to pay me my money now? And then it's like, I don't have the money, and she's about to write him a check to cover it because she's all scared and feels like she's...
She sees the water coming out of the barrel.
Responsible, and then she sees a drip of water coming out of the barrel. And she's like, no, I don't think I will. It's like, what? And like, oh, come on. You know, they know they've beaten her. Yeah. You know, that she's beaten him on this little short con. Because
and they pack up and they start to get out of there. And hey, then, listen, lady, nice to meet you.
Yeah, and they show her a couple of funny card trick type things. There's the one old guy who seems kind of almost fatherly, you know, like he, you know. It's a dark place and dark business. It's just really, it's supposed to be kind of about how this is the way these guys do things, and that you don't trust nobody and all that other stuff. Again, tell is a tell. You can't hide what you want. Basically, what this leads to is her coming back to him because she's allured by this sort of con game thing,
adrenaline.
And it's another potential interesting character study for her to use in a novel or something. So she's hanging out with him, and he's showing her a few small things. One of which involves Bill Macy. The whole gimmick is, and this is something that we can all use in life. Is that a good con man gives the mark his confidence. It's all about making them feel like they're the one in charge. Mm-hmm. It's what you do in life in a negotiation. It's like, you know, let me let you make the decision for you.
Right.
Let me make the decision for you, but you're making it you're feeling like, you know, like you're the one in charge. How do I approach this so that you feel like you're the one in charge when I'm the one that's manipulating the whole thing. And so she notices how this works. And then they end up at a hotel room. That seemed kind of incidental. I don't remember why they were in the hotel room. Was he showing her another trick in the hotel room? Oh, he was showing her how to get like the keys, which that was dumb though. That was just easy. It was like the guy sets him on the table, which is something I've never noticed that like people check out that way. They just drop the keys and say, see you later.
Usually you hand them to the clerk.
Yeah, well, usually it's like sort of a thing, and then they have to do paperwork and stuff. So that was a little weird. And then
usually you check out before you give them the keys. I don't know how many times you've been in a hotel recently, but you check out earlier in the day, and you sign whatever you have to sign at that point. You might have to sign everything just in the beginning now. But every hotel I've ever been to recently, it's like, you know, on the way out, you just give them the key and tell them what room it was for in there. Oh, thanks.
That's cool. It. So well, maybe it's believable.
Back in the 80s, it might have worked.
Yeah, in 87, it might have worked a little better. I mean, a lot of these films that are dated, you see... God, I just recently watched another film that was set in an old... I recently watched American Gangster, and it's like, well, I'm comparing it to, like, The Wire, which is set more recently, where they've got, you know, wiretaps and cell phones, and it changes the way the whole game works with, you know, drug running and stuff, and being cops trying to make a case.
Right.
So basically, she ends up in a situation where she accidentally feels like she's accidentally becoming part of one of their bigger cons, one of their actual cons. He's like, wait, you need to get out of here. And she's like, no, I want to say something to you or something. And then, boom, she's all of a sudden part in on this big con, this real con. And it turns out that she, this guy ends up getting killed. It's sort of her fault. She believes that. And so they basically do the hard way thing from with Michael J. and Jimmy Woods, where they make her feel like she killed somebody. And then that's like, well, look, we'll take care of it. You just get out of here. You just, you know, don't worry about it. And she's gone. And what they, but that they end up losing this money that they'd used to create the con, which was 50 grand they borrowed from the mob. Right. And so she's like, look, I'll write you the check for the 50 grand. And then we're kind of good and we're covered and you're all going to go our separate ways.
It was 80 grand.
It was 80. That's right. And then that's the way that happens. But then she notices that, like an idiot, her patient comes back just to check on her to see how things are going with, right. You know, tell her everything's kind of going all right with her. And then she's taken like the trash out, or she's just like, she's throwing away her bloody shirt from killing this guy. Apparently,
and she sees that his car is the getaway car,
which to me is like ridiculous that they would make a spoof.
That's one of the first signs that this is really one of Mamet's earliest attempts at doing a film sort of thing like this, just in the screenplay level, because there's nothing like that. I mean, there has to be something like that so the person can find out what's going on. There always is a movie like that, but that's a huge one.
As I was watching it, and I had seen like the last half of this movie before. Yeah. I think this was the first time I ever sat and watched the whole thing. I thought it was going to be the blood for some reason. I thought that, because there was a lot with this blood that was dripping. Like, she cuts her hand when she throws, she's all like ashamed of herself and stuff. And she throws something against her diploma, and then she cuts her hand on the glass. But then there's this bloody shirt from this thing that just happened. I kept thinking there was going to be like, she was going to notice, wait, blood looks like this, not like this. And that was going to get her thinking, but that didn't happen. That would have, I think, maybe been more clever.
It might have been, but she that would also mean that she was actually way smarter than like she had an extensive experience with blood, because she didn't, a random person doesn't know what.
Yeah, but she'd already been conned by them before, so it's believable that she, and plus in the rationalization of the human mind, like, maybe I didn't kill him, maybe it was all a game again. Oh, well, what do you know? You know, like that was, that I think could work. So she goes down to this other bar. It's kind of like a shit kicker bar. It's not nearly as cool as the House of Games. But it's sort of the one where they all hang out, and she sneaks into the back all...
Because it's some place where they probably know that their marks aren't going to walk in and find...
It's all where it's all rainy, and she's been rained on, so she's got the whole, like, woman scorned aspect going for her, with the, like, in the rain, being all pissed, walking in. And she's sitting in the back, and she notices that, like, the guy who was this FBI agent that she thought she killed is there. And he's talking, and they're all talking about, how come I can never be, you know, the big guy on this? And they're talking crap about her, and like they're dropping the B-bomb, which for the 80s was still... I'm sure that word was still like offensive to women back in the 80s. Now it's like nothing, right? It's like it's like honey now, right?
Well, it's because I personally believe it's from Friends, because...
from the TV show Friends?
The TV show Friends is when on sitcoms, on like 8 o'clock time zone sitcoms, they started using that kind of frequently. Like, you bitch, you...
Really?
Yeah, you dropped the cake, stuff like that. And there was about once an episode or so.
Oh my gosh.
And it was really, it was shocking to me.
Early on in the show?
It was probably at least 3 or 4 seasons in before they
started. Okay, yeah, because I only watched like the first couple seasons.
But that was like, to me that was the turning point, because now if you watch something like Law & Order that's on at 9 or 10, it's filled with, I mean, it's pretty rough language for network television, plus, of course, the content.
It's a crime thing, But so, I mean, so basically,
I think, you know, content, you know, what's considered acceptable kind of evolves over time.
Absolutely.
So you can't call a girl on primetime network television a cunt. No. But eventually you will be able to.
Or in Scottish television, you probably can't. So basically it just goes to show that this guy has no, like, you know, he's a con man, and this was all con. They got her money. They split it up. She knows that he's going to Vegas because she hears him talking to his buddies about it. They just all don't notice her because she's in the dark in the back.
Yeah,
and that's another kind
of
like...
It was one of those things that somebody would have definitely seen her. But in terms of a movie device, it works. Because,
yeah, it works. Yeah. So then she meets him at the airport, acting all paranoid, like she's trying to leave too. So she meets him at the airport. He's like, what are you doing here? We can't be seen together. She's like, I'm so scared. I'm so afraid. I'm so glad you're here. You know, I didn't... Like acting like she was going to try to run away or something.
Yeah.
And then she tells him she's got more, like another check. It almost seems like she's going to start running, and she
does her own little.
She gives him her confidence.
Yeah,
which means she's trying to, like, she's learning to run a con on him. And then it just kind of devolves. And here's where I think I kind of still like the ending, because it's sort of abrupt.
I love it.
I like endings like that. Sometimes it just turn like that, but it's not very clever. It's like she doesn't beat him at his own game. She just kind of they end up in this hang.
That's what's clever. Is that she can't beat him.
Yeah, exactly.
His own game.
I was saying that too.
She can't do it. She knows that.
She's just an angry woman, yeah. And so she shoots him.
And so the ultimate payback revenge, the most like base one, is guess what? I'm gonna kill you now.
Because
he's like, go ahead and do it.
Because you wronged me, yeah.
Bitch, yeah.
And then she shoots him.
And then
him.
She does it, yeah.
And then he's like, please, sir, can I have another? Yeah, which yeah, I yeah. thought was weird. But
well, he was basically saying, I mean, what he was doing with that was like, no matter how many times you shoot me, you still didn't beat me.
Yeah.
Like, all you did was kill me. You didn't beat me. That's
yeah,
what he's
exactly.
telling her. And it just kind of makes her more mad, you know?
Uh-huh. And then she ends up like having cocktails and still being famous
yeah.
and signing people's books. Mm-hmm. And who knows, I guess. Because the gun that she uses is this gun that the patient brought in that was one of
right.
in on the whole time.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that was essentially a plot thing, but I think the idea of a psychiatrist, she's also like a kleptomaniac or something. They established that at some point. Like, she steals his penknife.
Yeah, and she does that because of the... I don't think it's a kleptomania thing. It's because she's... they said, and it's been a while since I watched, but I seem to remember early on conversations about how she's always trying to get in the mindset of these people because she's starting
yeah.
to focus more on the book writing than she
yeah.
is on the therapy.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's become like kind of the celebrity aspect of it where that becomes more important to her than the actual... therapy work.
Definitely.
Like she's looking for something more than just doing what she's always done. Like, she's kind of bored with it, you know? That sort of thing. So I think it's like, it was the excitement aspect of it. And did she or didn't she first steal the first thing after the first con she was
privy
to? I
don't remember.
I think she did it after they conned her. Like, that's when she, like, found out the, you know, that's when she started feeling that the adrenaline rush is like another high you can get.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. But it's kind of an interesting character study of the psychiatrist that goes through what she goes through once again.
Call it a character
once story. Again filled with interesting plot turns and like that make it entertaining to watch and not just what it is.
Right.
Even though I don't know if there's any real growth in her. I guess there's change in her character. She ends up murdering somebody, but you get the sense that like she's sort of a chain smoking kind of a distant. Kind of cold woman in the beginning, and she is that way in the end too. Or maybe that's just the mammoth dialogue making everyone seem
right.
that way.
Well, I mean, I think that the basic idea that you have to have a character go through some like arc where they change, I think that's stupid. I think one of the best things you can have a character do is get to a point where they think they're changing and they try to change towards something else, and when they realize it can't happen, they go back to normal. And that's a point also. That's a
yeah.
good point for
yeah.
to have for a character.
It definitely is.
Sometimes you can't break out of something and you're stuck.
You're
you
stuck.
Know? People revert to their old ways, and that's
mm-hmm.
that's usually how a lot of like noir movies and like anti-heroes.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
go.
That's how that all that
I
stuff
can't
is.
Do it.
You know?
You know, that's yeah.
That's why
cool.
that's why the outlaw has to ride into the sunset.
Yeah.
He's not going to settle down and start a family. It's all that he can do.
Yeah, you don't always learn something. And I think that's something important because I think
especially well, no, you learn that though. You learn.
You learn that you can't always learn something.
No, you learn that that's not something
right.
you can do, or you learn that not everybody can have that in their life.
Yeah.
The good things are not really necessarily something you want to take for granted. You have a happy life with a wife and child or whatever, and that's not for everybody. That doesn't happen for everybody.
Right.
Some people struggle and fight and die in a gutter, whether they were a good, bad, or indifferent person, you know? And this guy was a bad guy. He was a con man. He was good at what he did. He didn't... You know, he slept with the woman. I think maybe that
right.
makes him more worse. She said he raped him. Remember
yeah, right.
that
right.
that line? You raped me, which...
Therapist psychobabble was what that was, I think.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I guess it's retroactive rape.
Yeah, right. You can decide afterwards, you know, now that I don't like you, I don't think I wanted to have sex with you all along.
But isn't that kind of the thing
that's
we
lying.
All... Don't we all have to worry about that
it's
now, though?
That's Oleana for
yeah.
you.
Well, no, that's not quite Oleana.
Well, it seems like he's exploring the same sort of theme there. Like
a little
deciding
bit, yeah.
suddenly that sex was rape or that whether or not something was...
Yeah.
Happened or didn't, you know?
Well, no, you need to see it because he in Oleana, he does sort of get physical with her at some point. Where, but it's this sort of like exasperated. Wait, just stay here. Just and she
right.
she becomes real panicky and freaky
right.
about it, and you know she's like, you assaulted me, you know, you raped me. Back in the early 90s, when sexual harassment was a big deal and AIDS was still a big deal, rape was apparently still a big deal. Now it's kind of like sort of written off, but it's still a big deal.
Now
obviously.
AIDS isn't even that big deal at all
no.
anymore.
If we're to believe
cancer's
South Park,
worse.
Right? Yeah, cancer is worse. Which, I mean, makes sense because cancer is like
that was a fantastic
a bigger
way
thing.
To come back.
You thought so? I thought it was kind of a drab episode. I gave it a C+, dude.
Me, loved it. Me and Blaine, and I've never laughed so hard at South Park ever.
The doctor asks Kyle if he's had any unprotected anal sex lately.
Yeah.
What? No. Are you sure you haven't taken it once or twice up the hoo-hoo?
Just once or twice, yeah. Oh my gosh. So, that is House of Games, I think. Is there anything else you really want to talk about? I know you really wanted to get into
it. I think that's one where... you know, it's hard to say that the acting is any different in any of them, and I think that's more, you know, the same.
I think that one in Spanish Prisoner have, like, the most, like, mammoth style, really straight did. Up delivery. Really like, Heist doesn't Heist, quite have it.
Heist has a couple actors that are trying hard to break out of that. Delroy Lindo doesn't speak with a mammoth cadence. And for the most part, Hackman doesn't.
No, he doesn't. At all. Yeah. DeVito really doesn't either. No, DeVito's just doing DeVito. DeVito
had some lines, though.
That the lines were fantastic.
They gave Mammoth gave him some of his best Mammoth-ish lines. I know. And DeVito ate those up with relish. No, I keep talking. I just through my window, I can see into a window upstairs in another place, and it looks like there's a hot girl, and she might be about to take her clothes off. Oh, she just walked out of the room. Can you see up there?
No.
Look down, like, from this angle, up through the window. Oh, she just walked across. Right there. No, I'm dead serious. Oh, if you watch there's the girl, and it's totally a chick. She just put that shirt on, and I think before that, she didn't have, she might have just had a bra on or something.
God damn it.
Anyway,
it's not a dude. Trust me, bro.
I think that's a dude.
I just watched Fair Game. I know what a chick looks like.
Okay.
Actually, what a naked dude looks like, dude.
Oh, boy.